This is The Recency Bias. I'm Zach Finas, along with you here. Oh boy. Not good. Not good, gang. Your Montreal Canadiens, 5-1 losers. The Los Angeles Kings, late Wednesday night. My hope, my only hope, the one thing. I hope for you, especially if you are one of our Eastern Time Zone listeners. Hope you went to bed Tuesday and Wednesday night. That's my one hope, is that you're not way behind on sleep right now, headed into Thursday, having stayed up to watch the Habs lose to San Jose, which you probably should have known better. Canadians do not win in San Jose. That one's a little bit on you. But last night, I hope, maybe you drifted off on the couch. You got your shut-eye that way. Maybe you decided after the first or second, you know what? They're not winning. This is late. If I wake up and they got a win, all the better. If I wake up and I see they lost 5-1, well, at least I'll know I got a couple hours extra sleep. So that's my hope for you. Or maybe you were a damn fool and you stayed awake for it all. For what? To watch the Canadians lose by a cumulative, 10-3? Outscored in back-to-back nights? Ugh. Canadians were up against it going in. The Kings 4-0-1 headed into the game, 5-0-1 now, the only team in the NHL still yet to lose in regulation. There were a few changes to the Canadiens lineup coming into this one. Notably, everyone excited, everyone fired up. We thought, ha-ha, there it is. That's the combo. That'll get things going. Pacioretty, Drouin, Galchenyuk, united. Payoff was not the expectation. Pacioretty did almost nothing. Galchenyuk, a couple penalties in the first period. Drouin, nothing. Not to say break these three up, but didn't have the payoff I think a lot of us were excited about when that trio was announced early Wednesday. The only goal for the Canadiens coming from Paul Byron, his first of the season, but of course it's his first of the season. Nobody on the team, besides Jonathan Drouin, is more than a goal yet. I know on yesterday's podcast I said, oh, you know, it's bad, but the Vegas Knights are 5-1-0. By definition, that means things are early. I feel like last night, in the Canadians' case, you passed the point of it's early. And not, I mean, it is only, what, 7 games into the season. But the fact the Canadians get behind by a goal now and the game seems inevitably done. The fact that their only win came in the first game in overtime in a game they never led at any point. It's not so early to not start getting worried. Panic button? Maybe not yet. But soon. You can't go out missing the playoffs or having this thing fall apart if you're the Montreal Canadiens and you have $9 million in cap space. That's unacceptable. There would simply be, we just can't do it. That's a fireable offense, I think, to have $9 million in cap space. Give or take, well take. Just shy of that. Since the strike contract came off, and let things fall into free fall. Bergevin, a patient man, but his hand may be forced sooner rather than later. We'll see what happens. Claude Julien's take on the loss was that the Habs simply took too many unnecessary risks. That's what he feels. Let the game get away in that third period. Or perhaps just overall. Too many unnecessary risks in the game. Looked like Jordy Ben took an unnecessary risk. Caught pinching, which is something he frequently does. Next thing you know, the Canadians were down. Those Arpenbasu points out in his post-game breakdown of it. Carl Alzner found himself in the slot on that, looking to score, I suppose, instead of being where he needs to be, which might allow for Ben to pinch. And why is that? Because he's trying to score. Because these guys are concentrating on scoring now. And that's likely why the quote-unquote unnecessary risk that Claude Julien was talking about happened. The guys are trying to find it. Can't really blame them. But at the same time, that's where you start to spiral, when perhaps you had 5 games of bad luck, bounces didn't go your way, frustrated with the refs, but you start to force things rather than let what you know to be good habits, the right work, rather than let that play itself out. You start to force things and you end up behind the way they found themselves behind on Wednesday. Once they were down 2-1, it was an inevitability, I think. Mike Camilleri, former Hab, coming back to haunt the Canadiens. He's back with the LA Kings the second time he's returned to a team. Played twice with the Flames, twice with the Kings now. So the question one has to ask, Mike Camilleri, will he be returning to the Canadiens for a second stint here? Is that the reinforcements? It shouldn't be. Kempe, who's this guy getting a hat trick? I never even heard of this guy. He's beating us up for a hattie. It's just frustrating to watch. I'm sure it's frustrating to be on the team. I'm sure it's very frustrating to be coaching them right now. Somebody's got to grab the reins of this thing before it gets too far out of hand. And we're getting very close. Is it going to be the captain? Captain needs to do something. Max Pacioretty, I don't know what the hell, man. He was a non-factor plus on Wednesday. Just nothing. He had a shot. He absolutely doesn't have chemistry with Drouin. That's starting to become apparent. Drouin's been, I mean, outside the face-off circle where he's struggling, which, honestly, I don't care. Face-offs are incredibly overrated in the general sense. There are specific situations where it's really important to win a face-off. You can have your guy that you rely on for that role, kind of a specialist. But overall, I'm fine. Face-offs are, all the studies on face-offs seem to indicate they may not be that indicative of puck possession taking over. It's kind of a swatting at it and get lucky, see how it bounces out. Anyway, that's a digression. Drouin's been good defensively, like real solid, more than I almost expected. I think more than many of us expected. Offensively, we're still waiting, but I mean, he's playing with Patches, who's a non-factor. He's playing with Galchenyuk last night. I think we've seen potential here and there for some chemistry between those two. I'd like to see that experiment go a little longer. Experiment I'm kind of getting done with, though, is Drouin and Pacioretty. Patches seems to find, for whatever reason, he's not good with top-end defensemen. He's good with guys like that. He's good with Danault. Maybe reunite him with Danault. They seem to have something last year. So let Drouin. Here's what I say. Let's go Drouin, Gallagher, Galchenyuk. Let's do that. Danault, Pacioretty, Lehkonen. And let the rest fall as it is. Charles Hudon on the third line. You know, however you want to shuffle those guys. Speaking of Hudon, starting to feel a little Lars Eller-y to me, where everything about his game you like for the most part, but failing to finish just time and time again, you're like, oh, almost Charles Hudon. We'll see. I mean, he's a handful of games into his NHL career. The whole team is struggling, as I say. Every night when I announce who scored, it seems to be the first goal of the season. So we'll wait on Charles Hudon. But I'm starting to get a little frustrated there. I'm frustrated with it all. Everyone's frustrated with it all. The only person who received some good news on Wednesday was David Schlemko, who's been kind of a man of mystery in the early part of the season for the Canadiens. He was supposed to be on this California road trip, returning to action, joining the Habs, and then mysteriously didn't make the trip. People wondered about that. Turns out, so he's been dealing with this hand injury. That's a difficult word, apparently. Running on low sleep, obviously. Dealing with this hand injury. And it's one of these persistent things that he just cannot get figured out. Finally, on Wednesday, or perhaps before that, but news came out Wednesday that they discovered there was still a bone fragment loose in his hand from an earlier injury. So they're going to get surgery on that, get that removed. Hopefully, you know, for a guy who's had a lingering injury that they just couldn't put their finger on, this solves it. He can come back. He can be himself at his best again. Not out for long. I believe it's something like 3 weeks. It's a, you know, open it up, remove the bone fragment, let it heal, and hopefully he'll be back in the lineup for the Habs. 3 of 14 points so far. 3 of a possible 14 points. Puts you in a troublesome position, is all I'm saying. 1-5-1. Canadians will get back at it Friday night, so no more late nights on a work night. Still late night, 10 o'clock puck drop in the city of Anaheim as they take on the Ducks. We'll be recapping that probably mid-Saturday afternoon, if I'm being honest. Also important to note, Sean and I on the big show, we're looking to try and get another Tragically Hip podcast up. Take another look back at the career of the Hip. Obviously talk about Gord, who passed late Tuesday night. Everybody's been eulogizing and talking about it, and it's something that reverberates through the hockey world, because much of the hockey world is Canada, and Canada, obviously, huge attachment and adoration and love for Gord. So we'll be jumping on that, talk about, and we'll run through the discography of Tragically Hip, talk about the evolution of their music. If you want to talk about, you know, if you want to hear about what our kind of run that we did last summer, you can find that. I put the link up. That was more what the Hip meant to us, what we thought of them as, you know, just overall their Canadianness. We'll be doing that probably this weekend. We'd like to get going on that one. Till then, take care.
Thank you very much, folks.